Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
The Lord is with us. He's leading us, He's guiding us, and He's directing our paths. Amen. The Lord has a plan of success for all of our lives. If we'll simply obey what He says do, He's got a plan. Amen. You know, we've been talking about, just directed by the Lord, to talk around along a subject line. And does anybody remember what that was? What God is saying to the church today. Well, what is God saying to the church today? Does anybody remember? What's the first point that God is saying to the church today? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things you need shall be added unto you. Put God number one in your life. Let God be the priority in your life. That's what we've talked about throughout this series. I think this will be the seventh.
Eighth service.
We have a seventh in this series here, right here. Seventh one that we're going to enter into tonight, because that's the way the Holy Ghost has led me. He started leading me that way this morning before we left. So it wasn't natural, it was supernatural. Amen. But it was, get your priorities, get ready, you understand? And put God first. There's natural, legitimate things that you need to do. You know, if you're going to function in life, there's things that you have to do.
Right.
But if you put those things, those legitimate things, and get them out of priority, get them out of order, and put them ahead of God, and you put God way down on the list somewhere, the natural, legitimate things that you're to do and carry out in life just don't work right. Things don't fit together, but when you put God first, make Him the center of your life, it's going to work out. So what is God saying to the church today? Get your priorities in order. Get right with God. Get priorities in order. And then point two was what?
Be being filled.
Be being filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. Some say, you know, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the emphasis of speaking in tongues is of the devil and it's passed away and you don't need that, but that is not what your Bible says.
Amen.
Just don't take my word for it, but certainly don't take their word for it. You look in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that tongues and baptism of the Holy Ghost is passed away. In fact, we discovered what the Lord showed us in the message that we talked about, being filled with the Spirit or with the Holy Ghost. It is the entranceway or the door way, the avenue into, the direction into, the first step into all the other gifts of the Spirit. That's where it is. Without being filled with the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and praying in the Holy Ghost, and spending considerable amounts of time praying. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more you build yourself in the Spirit, the more you're going to have the ammunition of the Holy Ghost to operate through your life, and the gifts of the Spirit will operate through your life. And then point three, who did anybody remember what that was? Oh, Lord, be aware of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who in here tonight is operating under seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? We'll cast them out. I mean, no, kind of joking, but I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
You know what I mean? There are seducing spirits that are being unleashed on the church world today. It's unprecedented. I believe in church history at the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils is trying to get into the church. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are not trying to get into the world.
Right.
Why? Because the world's already seduced and deceived. But what they're doing is they're trying to get into the church and they're trying to deceive people. We understood and we know even by the lips of Jesus what we can do to not to be deceived by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What was that? Spend time in the Word of God, follow the Holy Spirit, and spend time in prayer and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, you will not be deceived. So we know that's what God is saying from heaven today. And then point four, what was that? Oh, Lord, if you do not pray, you cannot make it. If you do not pray, you cannot make it. We talked and we pointed out the fact. Remember Peter before, where they were praying in the garden, before they came and arrested Jesus. They were in the, the upper room, what they are somewhere. And Peter, Jesus told him, he said, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed and all this. And then Peter spoke up. You remember this. Peter was the first apostle to recognize that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Right.
Remember that. But he also was the first one to pipe up when Jesus said that and said, I'll never deny you. I'll not be offended. Though everybody forsake you, I'll stand by your side. Did Peter make an admirable confession?
Yeah.
Did he make the right confession?
Sure.
Did he have the right desire?
Right.
Did he do the right thing? Did he want to do the right thing? Yes, he did. The other apostles finally chimed in and piped up and said, "We're not going to deny you, Jesus. We're going to be right by your side." He looked at Peter and said, "Before the rooster crows three times this night," said, "you'll deny me." Peter said, "No, I'll never deny you." Guess what happened? Peter denied the Lord and the rooster crowed, and he remembered what Jesus said, and he went out and wept bitterly. That means he wept a lot. He cried. So, did he have the right confession? Did he have the right desire?
Yeah.
Did he have the right attitude?
Yeah.
Did he have the right action?
No.
No. Why? Because he denied Jesus. Why did he deny Jesus? The key can be found in the garden. Jesus said, "I'm going a little ways to pray. You sit here and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit truly indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I pointed out and said this because the Holy Ghost taught me this several years ago. If you do not pray, you cannot obey. There's more to it than confessing God's word. Yes, we need to confess what God's word says, but the strength and power to obey God's word simply comes from spending time in prayer and soaking up the anointing and the ability of God. So the reason that Peter faltered and failed, and the rest of the disciples did too, is because they were sleeping when they should have been praying. How many of y'all been sleeping lately? Don't make me come out there. I'm joking. But I might be serious. How many have been sleeping too much? You've got to awake and pray to walk into victory. Point five was, don't give up hope. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Victory is sure. It's soon. It's on the way. There's a lot of times, you know, the Bible says, don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I've talked about how the enemy has brought oppression to the church. He's brought oppression to us. He's brought oppression to people that's been praying and believing God. And seems to be that right before the biggest breakthrough that we ever have, that the enemy pulls out all the stops, so to speak. He gets his biggest guns, gets his biggest weapons, and tries to bring the most discouragement that he could ever bring us to do what? To get us to give up and quit. But I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Victory is on the way. I'll guarantee you, it is sure. And then number six, what was that? Oh, Lord, don't get that CD. No, you better not get that CD. Don't get that CD. I'm using reverse psychology here. Don't get that CD from this morning. No, don't get that CD. Because what was the title of it?
Get Your Life in Order.
Get Your Life in Order. Jesus is coming soon. Get your life in order. Jesus is coming soon. Will you be ready to meet Jesus? We talked about death. Does anybody remember the youth camp down in the thriving metropolis of Geneva, Georgia? Anybody remember when we rolled in the coffin?
Yeah.
Was any of the youth there? You was there. You was there. Back there was there. Yeah. We rolled the coffin in. The way I got the idea to bring the coffin, I was going down the road in Columbus, Georgia. McMullen Funeral Home had an advertisement about doing, you know, pre-funeral arrangements prior to you dying. Go and, you know, make your funeral arrangements and do it your way. You know, Burger King is have it your way. McMullen Funeral Home, you can have it your way. Because after you die and you hadn't made the plans, you're not going to be there to argue with them. And they're going to do it like they want to. You know what I mean? And so they had this little slogan and picture up there at McMullen Funeral Home on this big billboard. It said, "Think outside the box." So it got the idea. Yeah, that's what we need to do. You need to start thinking outside of the box. Because once you get in that box, you can't think. Now, we had a live homo sapien in there, which is a human being. And I'm not cussing if you don't know what that word is. I just learned it recently. But you know what I mean? A human being. We had a live human being. Remember, Philip Barbie was in that thing. We had the lights off. And they rolled him in while the lights was off. And then when the lights came up, all the youth got sober quickly. And we begin to talk to Philip beyond the grave. And one of the things he said is, "Hot in here." And I'm here to tell you, without Jesus, that's what you'll say. It's hot down here. Said, "How do you know?" Because that's what the rich man said when in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he said, "I'm tormented in this flame. Send Lazarus, or let Lazarus come and just dip his finger in water and touch my tongue." And so it started to having people to think outside the box. And we was talking about how life is so hectic and fast-paced and geared up that we think that this is all life is. But it's not the real thing. Coke says they're the real thing, but this life that you're living is not the real thing. There is a world that you're facing and you're going into it. And when you close your eyes in death or the rapture takes place, whichever occurs first, then when you step out into eternity, it is too late. You cannot change your mind. You cannot make a new decision. You cannot make a new choice. Somebody said, purgatory. I'll go to purgatory and somebody will pay my fine and get me out. And somebody will pray me out of purgatory. Somebody said, what's purgatory? Well, that's where one church group believes that when you die, you know, if they don't know where you went, they'll put you in purgatory, which is a place out yonder in La La Land somewhere. And then if you pay enough money to the church and get the right priest to wave the wand and sling the water over you, then they can pray you on into heaven. You know what I say about purgatory? It's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. That's what purgatory is. Don't listen to it. There is no purgatory. When you close your eyes in death, it's over. You better be right with God right here. You better get ready because Jesus is coming soon. Said, Brother Randy, you sure got a big old mouth. I've got a big God and he'll back it up too. You better get ready. You better get right. Don't get caught up in this world. Yes, there's legitimate things that need to be done, but don't get so wrapped up in this world that you forget that there's another world. This life is only to prepare you for the next life. And if you spend your life living for this life only, you're going to get down to the end of life's road. And I'll tell you what Dad Hagen said. Dad Hagen said, neglect brings regret. All you'll be able to do when you get to the end of your life is regret that you didn't do it right, because you can't go back. You can't do it over. Once you cross over that line, once you step over into death, that's it. You can regret it. You can moan. You can groan. You can gnash your teeth like Jesus said, but it's going to be too late. Some even say today that there's no such thing as hell, an eternal lake of fire. Do you know what I think about that? That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. There is a hell. Why? Because Jesus said so. And I'm not going to accept what some man or some lady says. I'm going to accept what Jesus Christ says. Glory to God. There is a hell and there is a heaven. Now, God is not going to send you to hell. You'll send your own self there if you want to go. God does not put people in hell. He can't stop them from going there. He made you and me as a free moral agent. I have the right of choice. I make the decisions as to the outcome of my life. God gave me that. I'm not a puppet on a string. I'm not a computerized.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.